About this time that we have a little segment I love to call Ingredients Time Forgot. Each Tuesday, Jackie Newling from Sydney Living Museums, food historian and author of Eat Your History, joins us and talks about just one of those ingredients that we don't see anymore that maybe we're not even sure what it is. And today we've got a doozy. Good morning, Jackie.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And I'm excited about this one because we're actually talking about mock turtle. And I'm willing to bet there's a lot of people out there who think of it as a Lewis Carroll character, never realizing that it was indeed a real thing.
Well, and that Lewis Carroll little character, for people that need a memory jig, is, you know, it's a turtle, but it has an animal's head. It has a calf's head.
It does.
And it has calf's feet.
It does.
So it's kind of a sort of hybrid animal in a very, you know, wacky way, which is so Alice in Wonderland. But the reason for that is that just shows how ubiquitous the idea of mock turtle was. So mock turtle itself was a soup. So it wasn't an ingredient in itself. But the ingredient was the calf's head. That was the main thing that made it mock turtle.
Amazing stuff. And it was because green turtle was so expensive, wasn't it?
Well, green turtle was a really esteemed dish for centuries, but it really only belonged on, you know, really aristocratic tables, you know, in regal courts or perhaps, you know, really high-end tables. So for the, you know, the common folk out there who, of course, you know, wanted to emulate that, they came up with their own version. And again, sorry, vegetarians and vegans, here we go again. But the natural collagen that we talked about last week with the that sets like a jelly, that gives a very silky, rich luster to a soup on the palate, which was characteristic apparently of the turtle meat as well. So it just became known as mock turtle. And you know, these days we think, you know, second best is, you know, a mock would be second best, but mock turtle ended up being the dish that was on, you know, high-end and low-end menus for probably 150 years.
It was amazing, and you can easily sort of find tins of it and things like that, or photos of tins of it. It was obviously really popular. But when you say the natural collagen, I mean, what were we doing with these calves' heads to make the mock turtle soup?
Literally just boiling them up.
Oh,
boiling them up and stewing them down. So the way you would make a chicken stock now or something like that. And, you know, those of you who make your own soups, of course, you're using, you know, bone broths are all the thing at the moment or you use your chicken frames to make a stock. In many ways, it's a very practical way of using every part of the animal. So it comes down to that nose to tail, that you know, not wasting anything. And it does make a particularly rich stock. But they also used, in Australia particularly, sheep's heads turn up on in cookery books as a more economic alternative, and you have fricasseed sheep's head and braised sheep's head and sheep's head sautée and, you know, all these different dishes in their own right, as well as turning it into a broth.
Wow.
So the idea of having an animal head on our tables would just be horrific, I think, even for the most meaty of us.
Well, of course, we still see them being used in traditional styles of brawn.
Yes, but again, you don't see that terribly often. So
no,
that's one of those sort of jellied meats we talked about last week. But I did see a documentary on Iceland, and apparently, you know, instead of a hot dog van or a kebab shop, you have sheep's heads served on a plate.
Wow.
So there are cultures out there that haven't let go of this old tradition.
Look, I'm still a bit of a fan of brawn, but I've never been a huge fan of the other name it's known as, which is head cheese in some cultures.
Oh, gosh, I haven't heard of that before.
I have definitely heard of it as head cheese.
It's called presswurst for the more continental sort of delis. It's called presswurst for the, you know, Bavarian sort of style one. But, wow, head cheese,
it's a really unpleasant term. Look, when did we stop seeing mock turtle? When did the soup fall out of fashion?
Like so many things, around the mid-century, around that sort of post-Second World War, our tastes, I think after all the rationing of the World War, in World War II, people saw all those things that weren't rationed, which were things like this, you know, the spare bits, and they lost their glory. You know, they just became pauper's food, and we really started looking at the more sophisticated, or what we saw as more sophisticated dishes. You know, our whole mindset changed about what good food was.
Yes, I imagine, and all those leftover bits, I suppose, ended up as pet food or blood and bone meal or anything like that.
That's right. When I tried to buy a calf's head from our local butcher, it took him about 6 weeks to organise 2 heads for me, because they're not, you know, the abattoirs don't retail them. They, you know, you have to get sort of ask specially for them to save one, because yes, they're already predestined for some other commercial use.
Now, dare I ask, did you make some mock turtle soup? Did you?
I did.
How was it?
It just tasted like soup.
Yeah,
you know, like a broth. It's like a broth, and if you clarify it properly, you know, it is crystal clear, like a consommé.
Oh my.
But it does have that lovely silky, natural silky feeling, which, you know, which an ordinary soup doesn't necessarily get.
Well, I'd love to see it back on menus, I've got to say. I could imagine it doing quite well in a Heston-style restaurant.
Well, I think Heston, I think if people want to YouTube it, I think Heston has actually got a calf's head soup or calf's head something, if you want to do a bit more research yourself. Yeah, I think there is a YouTube out there of him him making a calf's head dish.
I'm sure that's amazing to watch. Jackie, this is always an incredible education. Thank you so much, and we'll talk next week.
Great fun, Nick. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Jackie Newling. She's with Sydney Living Museum. She's the author of the incredible book, Eat Your History. You can find her on Twitter as Colonial Foodie. And there's always something new to learn when her and I chat about the ingredients that time forgot.